You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
All right, well, praise the Lord, men, women of God. This is Pastor Thomas Robinson, along with Pastor Lyons. Oh, praise God. She is a woman of God in the marketplace. God is using her mightily, even in Brevard County. I believe she's impacting Brevard County. You really want to know the truth. We had her on yesterday on the Monday broadcast, and she's right back again here on the Tuesday broadcast. We can't forget her wonderful husband, Pastor Ray Lyons. Praise God, who's right there beside her. Both of them are working in the vineyard. They're pastors. They have multiple streams of income, businesses. Praise God. And so it's a delight to have her on. I've had Pastor Ray on in the past, but we finally got her nailed down and got her here on the show. I had to work at it. Praise God, I had to keep calling her husband. I'm telling you, he knows. And so, but we nailed her down, praise God.
Yes.
And so, I kind of tease him every once in a while, and I tell him, I said, you know, your wife gonna make me hit the button, praise God, and that's a 007 joke. Praise God, but we thank God for you. How you doing, woman of God?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you again for having me back. You know, it's always good to be amongst like-minded people. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says sheep begat sheep, you know, and so it's so good to be in the presence of other believers.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Now, yesterday we finished the broadcast and we finished off and we were talking about vision. And I definitely want you to go ahead and do some ministering this time around. But I just want you to quickly say something as to how we as parents can give our children a vision. Praise God. I thank God for the ministry that at the time that I came from up under you know, what the things that I was taught, it helped me to inspire my kids. And I believe that sometimes we're not inspiring our kids. We wait right up until they're a senior, you know, getting ready to put the cap on. And we say, so what do you want to do? Oh, now you want to talk about this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can relate because guess what? It kind of happened to me and kind of in a sense. And so what can we do as parents to inspire our children and give them vision? It's almost like the parents need a class, mm-hmm, on giving vision, and you, I believe you're just the right one to do it.
Well, I'm in agreement with you when you say that the parents probably need a class on how to do so. But if there are parents listening on today, then this is your free class. I think the most important thing that you can do, even if you're not a believer, is to hone in on the areas where you see that your child is good in, you know, those strengths. And so a lot of times you may not have a child that wants to go to college, but they may be good at something. For example, one of my grandsons, he is really good at taking things apart and putting them back together again, especially with cars. He loves cars. He loves, you know, trying to figure out how to put the wheels back on something. And so as a parent, I would say looking at that, that may be an indication that they may be good at doing something with their hands. They may be good at, you know, working on cars. And then even when you think about the longevity of it, that could probably be something that they could probably become an entrepreneur in. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, and this is no fault to my mom or my dad or anybody that assisted in raising me, is I believe that it's a biblical principle. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so when we don't know something, we don't do it. Yes. But when we know better, we do better. Absolutely. And so I don't think that my mom and my dad knew to teach us about finances, teach us how to balance a check, but teach us about credit, teach us about entrepreneurship, because they weren't taught that. Yes. But now we have, you know, revelation into this. We have information. We have so many different outlets where we can look at this information and pass it along to our children. And so for parents, what I would definitely say is look at those areas of strengths that your children possess, and then begin to build a foundation on that.
Amen.
So, yeah.
And so what do you say also, because, you know, I noticed, like, who was that, Jacob, Israel, he spoke into his son's lives. And I believe that that's one of the missing elements, one of the missing keys also, is that we don't speak into their lives. You want to say anything about?
Oh, absolutely. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And it's so funny, because every morning when we open up, when we do chapel, we do affirmations.
Yeah.
We give our scholars three.
I've seen that online.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
We give them three affirmations, and it's different every week. Every week we do a different chapel theme, and we do different affirmations. And I definitely believe in affirming our children, affirming us. It's so important that we do, because again, death and life are in the power of our tongue. When God created the heaven and the earth, how did he create it? He spoke it into existence.
Yes.
And so there are power in our words. And so when we affirm our children the right way, you know, a lot of times children are told things that they see them reflect in their lives. For example, if you have a child that's, you know, hot-headed and bad-tempered, or you know, has a bad attitude, then most of the time that is what is spoken.
Yes.
And so when we don't get to the root of the problem, then automatically we're just going to assume that that child is that way.
Yes.
But when we begin to take time and pray and ask God what's going on, and even have a conversation with this child, we begin to find out what's really taking place. And then we can begin to speak over that child's life what God said, instead of what their situation is saying, their action is saying, and the world is saying.
You know, and that's one the wonderful thing I love about your school is that, you know, the times that I peeked in there, it seems to me that you guys are doing a good job of preparing the kids for society. A lot of times we're not preparing our kids for society, just like you said, teaching them how to work a checkbook, teaching them how. Man, when I got on the Space Center I never had a mind. And thank God for opening the door for me to get there. But I never had a mind to buy a house. But getting around all of these young people of other nationalities, and they're buying houses in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, a lot of us don't get around to buying houses till later on in life. And so I love that you guys are preparing them for society, and I love the discipline that I see. Because a lot of times they're coming out of homes and there's no discipline. And I know sometimes we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to discipline them, and we don't want nobody else to discipline them. And then as soon as somebody disciplines them, you want to go in and try to cut the head off of the person who sees that they need discipline,
mm-hmm.
and are trying to help in that area. And sometimes you got to back up and let somebody or allow somebody to help you in that area where that you're not coming up to. How can I say it?
That you're not
You're not stepping up to the plate
to do it. Absolutely.
And you got a problem with anybody else that steps up to the plate to do it. Now, I don't know if you want to say anything on that, woman of God. Or are you ready to share what the Lord has given you?
We're just going to flow.
We're just going to flow.
We're just going to flow. I do want to speak on what you were talking about, because when we look at the Bible, and I keep referring to the Bible just in case anybody's watching, because I am a believer. You know, my life is sold out to Christ. And so all I have is the Word of God.
Yes.
And so when I look at how I live my life, I try to live my life according to the principles and the Word of God. And so the Word of God says, pertaining to discipline, that love without discipline is a lie.
Wow.
I can't tell you that I love you.
Wow.
If I refuse to discipline you.
Wow.
If I refuse to tell you when you are doing wrong.
Right.
I can't say that I love you.
Right.
Because if I see you going in the wrong direction and I do nothing about it, how is that love?
If you see a child running in the streets and about to get hit by a car and you don't stop the child, you can't call that love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when you use that analogy in this example, then, you know, you see that it's the same. You know, if I see a child, you know, demonstrating negative behavior, if they're in school and they're, you know, throwing desks at other children or at the teacher, or if they are cussing out the teacher, I can't look at that and not do anything about it and say that I love that child.
Yeah.
I have to intervene in some way, fashion, or form. And so we do a lot of hands-on, discipline, you know,
I thank God even because Pastor Ray, he inspires me. Come down, the young man that I've taken up under my wings and stuff like this. He says, hey, come down on the lunch break time and sit down and talk with him and stuff, you know, why he's doing lunch or something like this. And I just believe that, you know, a lot of us, you know, especially people that are retired, you got free time. I'm not retired. I don't have the time that a lot of people do, but praise God, these are pastors and they're open arms and stuff like this. Now, you know, now I'm sure they're going to check you out a little bit if you want to come down and you want to, you know, mentor and stuff. But because kids need mentors. They just didn't start cussing out teachers when they got to school. There was something going on in the house a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I just say a lot of times. There's anger problems in the house. Come on. Sometimes we are a product of our environment.
Yes.
Okay? The environment, if the environment is jacked up, it's just like, I was telling the church here recently. I said, you know, my garbage man, he comes on Tuesdays. Before Tuesday get there, we put trash in the trash can. Now, when he empties out the trash can, what comes out of the trash can is what? Trash.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. When you got a child at home, if all you're putting in that child is trash, well, guess what? That's all you're going to get out of that child is trash. That's all with society is going to, when he goes out into society, guess what's going to come out of him? Trash. And everybody's going to look at him as trash.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. You said a lot right there, because, you know, we have to be accountable for,
yeah,
for what we do or what we don't do.
Yes.
Even as parents, you know, sometimes the problem isn't always the child.
Yes.
Sometimes the problem is the environment that the child is in. Like you said, you know, if you're dumping trash on the child, if your talk is trash, if that's all they're receiving is trash, then that's all that they're going to demonstrate and give out.
Yeah.
And so even when we deal with kids in the environment that we're in, we take a look at all of that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't just because, you know, we have a child that may be acting up, we don't automatically assume that they're a bad seed or something is wrong with that child. We actually take the time to talk to them to find out what's really going on. And believe it or not, when you actually sit down and show some concern and you show that love that God talks about, kids will begin to open up. You know, and we've actually seen some change in some kids that, you know, their parents were like, oh my God, like, I'm really shocked. I would have never thought that they would have been behaving in the manner that they that they are behaving now, meaning in a good godly way. Yeah. And so it's all about, you know, when you're raising a child or when you're working in that arena, I believe it's, you know, what you put in is what you get out. And so
you said something there. What you put in is what you get out, because, you know, it's time for us to call, you know, and every parent's not lazy. Some parents got to work. Some parents got to work a lot of hours. And that's one of the problems, is that, you know, a lot of our kids are growing up with the television.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the point where we stop saying, go and sit down and watch TV, and start saying, go and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that's going to inspire them to do the right thing. Because stop pointing these kids to the television. There's so much demonic stuff that are coming out of the television. You know, the television shows, you know, whether you know it or not, they teach our children how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
They teach our children things that, you're sitting around and you're wondering, why is he behaving that way? Why is she acting that way? Praise God. Why? Well, anyways, I won't go too far into that. I'll just say that a lot of this is coming from the television. You haven't set no guidelines on the television as to what channels they can watch.
Mm-hmm.
So they sit there and they watch rated R stuff. There's just some things that are too mature for children. And once again, trash in, trash out. And so we got to stop, number one, being lazy as parents. If you need some help, you know, I remember going to Pastor C.H. Carter when my kids were growing up and asking questions, come on, about parenting. And when my oldest son got ready to turn 18, graduate from high school, I had another conversation. And she gave me some great advice. She said, you know, now you're going to have to go into a advisory, you know. In other words, you can't, you know, spank them for this and that. Now it's about advising them,
mm-hmm.
Praise God, and praying for them that they take the advice.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, woman of God? How can we, boy, because I know that you juggle your time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and all the things that God has given you to do as an entrepreneur. We want to get back into that too, and we want to definitely keep giving out the address to the school, because you may have a child, praise God, and they're not excelling and going forward in a public school, and they need a Christ-centered school. Praise God. And I thank God. I know that there are people out there to hear me. We've had people come all the way from Titusville even to our church. And so, you know, this broadcast is going across the county.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we want to definitely, let's go back into your school. Where is it located at?
Our school is located at 200 Forest Avenue in Cocoa. Actually, we have three campuses now. We have two campuses in Cocoa. Right down from our church. That address is 966 North Cocoa Boulevard. And then we also have a branch in Mims, okay, Florida. So we have three locations.
I wanted to say Titusville, but I was like, I didn't want to, you know, throw it off. But yes, you have a campus up north also.
Yes, sir. We have a campus up north as well. And that location is at, rent one of the rooms at Kyler Park.
Okay.
And so we have a location there as well.
How can they get in touch with you personally? Besides any other avenues of getting in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. We have a website that they can go to. The website is thepillar.com. Our phone number, our main campus phone number, is 321-636-5561. And then you can also reach us by email at info@thepillarofhope.com.
Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. And so I thank God. We still have time. We still got about 5 minutes. Praise God, woman of God. Is there anything on your heart that you would like to share? This is the time.
Yes, I wanted to share. Even as we talk about marketplace ministry, and I'm looking at it from a biblical perspective or a Christ-centered one. In Psalms 1, the Bible says, blessed, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. I wanted, I read that to say this in terms of marketplace ministry and, you know, God realigning us to the way that he designed for marketplace ministry to actually be. A lot of times we are seeking advice from the wrong people. The Bible tells us that, and I believe that this is not just for someone that's in the church, but I believe that it's for someone that's in God. Okay. He tells us that we are not to seek counsel, that we are not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. And so we have to be able to identify the people that we are getting information from. Right. Because if we're getting information from the wrong people, then the Bible tells us, excuse me, in reference to that, that we're not going to be blessed. Right. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And a lot of times, even when you look at churches, when you look at different businesses who say that they are Christ-centered, if you look at the people, some of the times that they're receiving advice from, they are worldly people. Right. Now, this may go over some people's head, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but this is something that, God definitely put on my heart to talk about in terms of marketplace ministry, because we have to get back to doing it God's way, right, all the way,
right,
all the way. And so I believe that if you're in business, if God has called you in business, that the advice that you receive, you need to be mindful of who you receive information from. Even if you're a pastor or a leader, you need to be mindful of who you are bringing into your ministry, right, to teach people, right, because the Bible says that we are not to receive counsel from the ungodly. And so it's not just, you know, us the person, but it's us the people of God in whatever arena he has called us to be in.
Right.
And so that's even for the marketplace. So I wanted to make sure that I touched on that, because I see it as a big problem. You know, I'm a prophet. And so, you know, when we look at some of the things that are happening in the church to our to the sheep in the church, you know, when we look at some of the things that are happening on our jobs and in our businesses, if we identify the root cause of most of the problems that we have, it is because we have done things in ignorance. We've done things outside of what God has commanded us to do. And then, you know, we're seeing a lot of different problems as a result.
Right.
But I think that we're in this time that we're in, you know, more importantly, God wants us to get back to doing things his way.
Right. Praise God.
Doing things his way.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, praise God. Once again, this is Kingdom Sounds, and you have been listening to Pastor and Prophet Lyons of the name of the church is
Greater Faith in Christ Ministries.
And the name of the school?
The Pillar of Hope Academy.
And also playwright, actress. What are some of the other businesses?
Actress, playwright, TV host.
TV host. I forgot about the television. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wife, mother.
Yes, yes.
Grandmother.
All of that good stuff. And so we thank God for her being here on today. Quickly, if you can say a quick prayer, woman of God, and we'll just go ahead and turn out from there. So.
All right. So, Father, we just thank you, God, for this time of fellowship on today, God. I thank you for every listener that has been able to hear what you have desired to say to us on today. God, I pray that this word has blessed them. God, I pray for edification on today. God, I pray that they would receive the word and they would run with it. And we thank you on today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. This is Kingdom Sounds. Catch us tomorrow, 6 p.m., 99.9, 100.7, and 94.7. God bless you.
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to vipministries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
Just how one of the world's great feats of architecture will be rebuilt says a lot about us as a culture. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. After the fire at Notre Dame in 2019, the world was reminded of the importance, the history, and the beauty of this magnificent structure. We mourn the damage, and we hope that the building would be repaired in such a way as to be an ongoing reminder to the world of its original purpose. Well, plans for the cathedral's reconstruction have been announced, and the news is not good. Notre Dame's rightly considered one of the greatest examples of French Gothic architecture. Despite the dark-sounding name, Gothic cathedrals were built for light, a symbol of divine illumination. And perhaps even more impressive than the building itself is the degree of thought that went into the design of it. And in the case of Notre Dame, the result is simply jaw-dropping. For over 500 years, until the French Revolution, that is, Notre Dame stood at the center of French Catholicism. The revolutionaries desecrated the church, destroying much of the religious art, beheading the statues of biblical kings in a mistaken belief that they represented the kings of France. In his efforts to restore the church in France, Napoleon Bonaparte had the cathedral rededicated and redecorated in the then-popular neoclassical style. Nonetheless, the cathedral fell into such a state of disrepair after the Napoleonic Wars that the French considered demolishing it altogether. More than anything else, it was Victor Hugo's book, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, that spurred the French to renovate and restore it. A taller and more ornate spire replaced the original, which had been removed in 1786. Historically, there was always a commitment to preserve and, when necessary, restore the cathedral in its original spirit and style. The desecration of the French Revolution and Napoleon's neoclassical decorative style are the exceptions, as well as when some of the medieval glass, when damaged by gunfire during the Second World War, was replaced by abstract art in the colors of the French flag. This significant departure just felt out of place to many of those who loved its medieval art and architecture. Immediately after the spire, the roof, and a significant part of the interior were destroyed by the fire in 2019, proposals for restoring it came pouring in. Most proposed some kind of modernist vision, completely incompatible with the medieval building. So many breathed a sigh of relief when it was announced that the roof and the spire would be rebuilt as they had been. More recently, however, plans for the interior of the building were released. One Paris architect referred to what was planned as, quote, a politically correct Disneyland. Mood lighting at head level would obscure the impact of the stained glass. Added light and sound effects would create, quote unquote, emotional spaces and themed chapels as part of a discovery trail that would feature Africa and Asia and end in a chapel entitled, quote, Reconciled Creation. Modern art murals